Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Arthur Smith here on the Coach's Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Arthur, you talked about kind of reflection on yourselves, certainly self-scout. Give the fan an idea what that entails, because that can be broad-ranging as the way you're practicing, how you're calling plays. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, everything. I think schematically you want to make sure that you're trending in the right direction and how you're evolving. You know, obviously when you're in year one, you know, are we making progress in the things that you really value, you know, the certain like your base fundamentals and some of your base schemes, and then a lot of things that we do week to week. We change things up, game planning, making sure we're using the right personnel, how we're calling things, when we're calling them, trying to be objective as you can. I mean, that's the name of the game week to week, especially when you got a week where you're not game planning, for some self-reflection, because it can be very beneficial if used correctly.
Using your self-scout as one of those things you wanted to get done this week from a team concept, what did you hope your players accomplished with this a little bit of time away from the game, so to speak?
Yeah, I think just to recharge your battery. You know, I know we're only five games in the regular season, but it's a long camp. The way that the season's broken up now, I mean, we went to London, so we took the bye after that. It's a good kind of break point. Now we come back and we've got, you know, a whole season ahead of us. We got 12 games ahead of us, and it'll get broken up a little bit after the Thursday night game. But, you know, you just got to how you map this thing out, and we try to be productive. But hopefully, the players get you know, we're able to recharge a little bit.
Arthur, I wanted to dive back into the Jet game, and I know you guys have put that one to bed and have moved on long ago, but the fans still reveling in the performance of your team over there. What were you did a lot of good things over there. There were some things you wanted to prove on, I know. Certainly, turning the football over is not something you want to do, and that certainly would have changed the complex of the game as well. But was there something that kind of rung in your mind that you're really proud of what your team was able to accomplish going over there?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, where we're at culturally and mindset. You know, we talked about the last 3 weeks and how we finished games. I thought we did a nice job against New York finishing that one. Obviously not good enough against Washington, but what you saw was, ironically, we were put in almost an identical situation, and there was growth there, and it was a different outcome. And that's, you know, start with me and just everything from top down. I mean, there's a belief here. We know we got to get better every week, and we know all these games are going to be hard. It's the NFL. Most of these games are going to come down to the end, and we certainly know we got a work cut out for us going down to Miami.
Yeah, I thought that was cool that you'd reflect on, hey, I'm trying to get better too, and you certainly showed that in the weekend against the Jets in the way you guys closed the football game out. Let's dive into some of the nuts and bolts a little bit, Arthur, into this game. Like I said, a couple of turnovers, if they don't go the Jet way, this game is a completely different game from a score standpoint. It certainly, from a numbers standpoint, reflected your domination. You held the ball for almost 36 minutes of the game, got great balance between running and throwing the football. And your rookie tight end, you know, I know you've been trying to give him as much as he could possibly handle. Looked like he just kind of freed up and played the game. Tell me about where you think Kyle is and his ability to now kind of absorb and just go play football for you.
Yeah, he's certainly coming along, and we're very pleased with his progress. And, you know, he's gotten better week week to week. We threw a lot at them. There's a lot of different philosophies, how you want to bring guys along. You know, certainly, I've always thought this, it's harder early to play closer yard to the football. And what we ask our tight end to do, we there's a lot of different jobs the way we use them. So it's not an easy job for a rookie, and certainly for a guy that has as much hype and expectation. But Kyle's a very mature guy. Like I said, he had a really good week of practice. So it wasn't a surprise how he played down in, or played out in London. We hope to keep, you know, he builds off it, because it definitely makes our offense better when he plays like that.
Well, another guy that you've asked a lot of, and that's why you drafted him, was Mayfield, your left guard. Unfortunately, because of injury, he was forced to right tackle during the camp, didn't necessarily get a lot of snaps at left guard, which is, I'm assuming, is where you wanted him. Now he's back at left guard, and he seems to be making steady progress. I know it's not a perfect work yet, and I know you're still working towards that direction. Give me an idea with what Mayfield has done in his progress as well.
Yeah, he made a ton of progress. Like you said, you know, we had a plan for him, and then, you know, obviously we had to go to our contingency plan because of what happened to Josh week one. And like I said, you know, it is the closer yard of the ball, especially offensively. A lot going on in there, and especially for a young guy. But he's handled it. You know, what I'm really impressed with is how he handled week one, because a lot of young guys, if they don't have the immediate success, you know, that can have a long-term effect on him. But Jalen's a really mentally tough person. He's continued to work, and he's played better week after week. So it's been a good surprise. It got expedited, and we're happy with Jalen.
The other side of the football was banged up for you, certainly your secondary. We know Isaiah, unfortunately, lost to you, but you had a number of guys that were a little banged up on that side of the football, and it's always been next man up in this league, but your guys certainly did that, stood up and did some of those things. Talk about some of those young guys on that side of the ball. Richie Grant, your second-round draft pick, got a chance to play significant floor for you on the defensive side of the football.
Yeah, you know, Richie's another guy. We're very happy with his progress. You know, we've had some veterans back there, and can't discredit, I think, a lot of times what happens is people get fixated on what just happened in the draft, and we have a good long-term plan for Richie here, but not to take anything away. I mean, you know, Jalen Hawkins is playing really good football, and so we feel like we've got two really good young safeties. We've had some vets that, you know, play in there that can really stabilize things for us, and the communication as we bring, you know, Richie along and Hawks coming on, but we feel very confident in Duran and Eric. So it's a good problem to have. Happy with, you know, with all these guys. There's stuff to clean up, but Richie played well, and so did Darren Hall. I mean, you're talking about a guy that played in the week, knew he had to go because Avery got hurt in practice.
Bunch of young players playing back there. Daron Harmon's going to join us, Coach, in the player portion, our player spotlight here on your show. And I know that you're expecting a lot from a leadership standpoint from he and Eric Harris. Eric out, Daron playing for you. Can you maybe give us an idea what those guys have meant to that really young secondary, those two veteran safeties?
Yeah, they mean a lot to us and to our program. And, you know, they've been through a lot of different situations. That's a hard position. The way we play defense, you know, we put a lot on those guys' plate, and they do a good job communicating. They do a good job leading by example. Like I said, I'm really happy that Daron and Eric are here.
Well, when we look at this defensive side of the football, and I dive into this a little bit more here in our second segment. We got a couple more minutes here in our first segment with head coach Arthur Smith of the Atlanta Falcons. Arthur, your defense really seems to kind of be growing together. Obviously, it's been a lot of guys. It hadn't been just 11 guys. It's been about 18 or 20 guys on that defensive side of the football that have played meaningful minutes for you. How do you feel like that group is coming together under Dean Pease's tutelage?
I think, you know, same thing. Week over week, there's things that, you know, we got to continue to improve on. But these guys, I think what you're seeing is they're starting to come together, understanding the scheme, understanding that, you know, guys can play multiple roles, you know, drop from anywhere, blitz from anywhere, and they're getting more comfortable week after week. And it's really nice when you know, it's part of the reason we played all these young guys early. We knew we'd need them at some point. And so it wasn't their first snap, wasn't in a regular season NFL game. You'd hope that builds confidence. So, like I said, we got to continue to progress. But it is a nice sign when you can play multiple guys and other guys step up and they play well. I think it's a good sign, and a good sign of the culture and the growth that we've had here so far.
Yeah, certainly an indication that those young guys, if they're not getting reps or getting a chance or listening to what's going on. I know that's something that's very important to you. There's a lot of walkthrough times and things that guys are having to pay attention, although they may not be getting the physical rep. It certainly looks like those guys, when they get their chance, are stepping into the role. When we come back, we'll talk to Arthur Smith about the Dolphins coming up. We'll reflect back a little bit more to the Jets. Coming out of the bye week, the Falcons 2-3 and headed towards Miami this next weekend. We'll be right back here on Sports Radio.
Back to more of the Arthur Smith Coaches Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Here's Dave Archer.
Don't forget, Falcon fans, you save at Mavis Tires and Brakes when the Falcons score touchdowns. Falcons scored 3 touchdowns last weekend in a covered 3 quarters for you. That would have been $75. But remember, got to get in the day after the game. So the next day only, save up to $100 on tires at Mavis Tires and Brakes, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Back here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, I'm Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcon Radio Network, and our head coach, Arthur Smith, with us here on the Arthur Smith Coaches Show. Arthur, I want to reflect a little bit more on the Jet game from a numbers standpoint. How much does that mean? I think that fans get so caught up in numbers and analytics, and I know it's a piece of the game, but how much do you allow yourself to look at that stuff? I know the eye test means more to you than anything else.
No, we look at it all. I mean, that's what I said. I mean, there's obviously a whole cottage industry and a lot of money made from people with the analytic revolution. And I guess I always say this, that, you know, it's, you got to have the right user. You can put a lot of money in, and we have a great analytics department here, but it's a team effort, and you look at it, and ultimately you got to make a decision. And like I said, if the numbers tell you 53%, well, you got to weigh that judgment call, you know, of, you know, so is this part of it? And like I said, I can't emphasize enough, it's got, you got to have the right user for it. So hopefully that with our team, and the I'm the right user for all that information. So, but everything, Dave, we look at it, you know, how it's going, what the situation is, how you're playing, who you got to judge, who you're going against, where you're at in the game. It all comes together. That's what makes football fun. It's hard. It's the hardest game to really truly evaluate. You know what you see with your eyes sometimes, but there's so many different things going on with 22 guys out in the field.
Yeah, no question. I know that it's fun for the fan to look at it from a numbers standpoint. I just have a tough time with guys that are evaluating our football team or your football team from a distance, that don't know what the play call is, don't know what the change was, don't know what the scheme is, but they're trying to evaluate what your players are, or put a grade on it.
Well, they're also, you know, that's, you can't fault somebody. I mean, they're trying to make a living, and, you know, they feel like they have a little niche here. And like I said, I mean, there's so many variables, and you get the small sample size. I love that after, you know, 4 games, you know, you want to go back and after week 1, week 2, week 3, okay, let's look where we're at week 6, and then let's see where we're at the end of the season, because the hot takes are laughable. I don't fault anybody trying to earn a living. You know, any information I get, it makes you critically think, the better off we are. But sometimes it's not somebody's fault. They have no idea what's called. They have no idea that maybe the left guard went the wrong way. You know, I've even seen it, guys are supposed to be experts. Somebody showed me something they put on online about one of our games, and they're talking about the scheme. They don't realize, I mean, you would hope somebody could realize that we didn't design to have 2 guys doing the same job. Now, you can say that's poor coaching, poor execution, but that's not the intent of the play. And then they go out there and they put that into the atmosphere, and it's just like, you have no idea what you're talking about. But again, it's, you'd rather people be paying attention than nobody paying attention, and we're playing in a parking lot. So.
Absolutely, no question about it. Well, I know some raw numbers that stick out to me, Arthur, about this last game, and really about your team over the last couple of weeks. The offense converting on third down at about a 55% clip the last 2 games. I know that's a positive. And your defense last weekend, or 2 weekends ago, I guess, now that we're here coming out of the bye, held that Jet team to, I think it was 184 yards of offense going into that final drive, where you're already up by 10 and you're just going to kind of play soft and let them throw those 8-yard throws. So they held the team, an NFL offense, to under 100, 200 yards going into that final drive. Those numbers are pretty good.
Yeah, it really is. And we want to continue to play well, you know, in all 3 phases together. You know, sometimes the game plan, maybe tweak something, you got to give a little something here, sacrifice something to win the whole game. We want to continue week over week to play better as all 3 units. We, you know, it's, we don't want one unit to play well one week and the other two to struggle. We need all three to play better. You know, there's some things we need to clean up on the cover, the turnovers, like you said earlier, the coverage units, and we got to continue to be really good situationally.
Arthur, how do you balance what you're doing with Cordell and Mike and throw Wayne Gallman in there as well? You got a really good balance of 27 carries. One had 14, one had 13. Now, Cordell, a little bit more involved in the passing game. He had 7 grabs, but still, Mike had 2 catches, and he had the big catch against Washington where he shoves it in the end zone. The balance between those two has been really fun to watch. How do you do that?
Yeah, you know, we go into to a game plan, and it's been fun. You know, I think you're seeing – CP's role evolving, expanding every week. It's fun to work with him. And then Mike's a real pro. And both of those guys have been effective in different ways. I mean, Mike does a lot of underrated things in this offense that, again, unless you know what we're asking him to, you can't really put a number on what he does in protections, just things he can do for your football team and the way he finishes plays. I think, you know, he saw the check down that he got and he broke like 15 tackles. You know, that's a good player making a great play. And then you saw the push as at the end of the game. That was a really cool finish to the game in London offensively. So we're trying to find the right balance. And then Wayne is another guy we're working in there. He has some speed and a different dynamic. So we hope it's a good problem to have, especially now that we get Russell back and Calvin.
You listen to the Falcons head football coach Arthur Smith on the Coach's Show here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I'm Dave Archer of the Atlanta Falcon Radio Network. Matt Ryan this weekend, or last, I keep saying this weekend, 2 weekends ago, was, I guess for the best term I can come up with, Arthur, was surgical. I mean, 33 of 45. He threw a lot of guys open. He made a lot of pinpoint throws. Is it fair to say that Ryan had to go through kind of some learning and growing with this offense as well as he continues to play at a high level?
Yeah, I think that's he and I growing together. I mean, even though he's in his 14th season, and it's the first time that he and I have been together, and you're seeing him play better every week. He's just such a smart football player, and the experience he has and understanding, there are a few things he hasn't seen before. He's getting a really good feel. We're getting a good feel for each other, and we just got to keep building off that because he's playing really good football lately. It's you know, it's comical how underrated he is.
Yeah, boy, that's well said. I don't need to say it any better than that. You had a lot of guys banged up. We've talked about that. Tajay Sharp stepped up for you. Alamide Zaccheaus made a big catch on third down to get a first down for you. Christian Blake had a couple grabs. How did you grade those guys out as far as stepping up with Russ and with Cal out of the game for you? Obviously, Kyle's the presence you expected, but those other guys stepped up and played well.
Yeah, Ozzie and Tajay, I mean, they're real pros. I've had some history with Tajay. From our time together in Tennessee, he's a very instinctive, smart football player. And then OZ, you know, he came up big in the clutch. And he's another guy that does so many little things that you can't put a number on and what he means to this team. And, you know, he has to go out there. You know, Avery pulls a hammy late in the week, and OZ comes back there, and it's an underrated thing. But he goes out there and handles the punt returns well, does all the little things play after play. Yeah, just really smart football player, can play multiple spots for us.
Are you encouraged by, I know you don't have to necessarily turn in any ideas to what injuries look like, Arthur, until Wednesday for the league, but are you encouraged with some of these guys that missed 2 weekends ago, missed your Jet game, going to be available to you this weekend?
Yes, I'm more encouraged. You know, we'll get a good look here in a couple minutes. We'll get out to practice. So we just have, you know, see how the week goes, and then obviously we'll know more Wednesday after practice. We get the injury report ready.
I neglected to mention a young player for you that made your football team and shouldn't have. Ade Ogundeji continues to get better at that outside position. I know you guys might be asking him to do a little bit more than he did at Notre Dame. Got a sack this weekend, but he also doing a good job absorbing some of those opportunities when he has to get off in coverage. How would you gauge where Ogundeji is in his young career so far?
Yeah, he's another rookie that we put a lot on his plate, and he's handled it really well. He's a very mature guy. He works extremely hard. I know that should be the minimum job requirement, but there's something about Ade where he's got a very very mature demeanor, you know, the way he approaches the job. He's gotten better week after week. Again, you know, you focus on the pass rushing stats, and that's what ultimately guys get, you know, paid off of is at those positions. But it's the every down stuff that how, you know, he's getting fundamentally better. Ted Monachino's doing a terrific job with him. You know, he sets the edge and it converts into a pass rush. He's long. Tight ends have a hard time blocking him. So, again, hopefully he keeps progressing for us.
Arthur, last thing for you is we got to let you get out and get ready to go win a football game this weekend, get to practice. But just a thumbnail potentially on Miami. It looked like Tua came back in the game. I watched the game. I don't know how much you watched the game. And the more, I know you watched a lot of the tape, but he looked great on that opening drive, really threw the ball well. Looked a lot like he did in our preseason game against Miami. How much does that week help you for this game as you glean the tape and kind of look at what they did yesterday?
Yeah, and it helps a lot. He's a good player. You know, he gave him obviously sparks, like you said, that opening drive. He's really good on those RPOs. And, you know, he can beat you. He can extend plays. He got a good arm. We got to contain him. I mean, we practiced against him down in Miami. Did a good job against him in the preseason. We know it's a very different game when he's in there.
Young defensive front that looks like they can get after you, like I guess another weekend in the National Football League with guys that can get after the passer. They do a nice job with their short passing attack, don't they? Gesicki's a nice player. You get Waddle, who's a solid player. Miles Gaskin, the running back. They do a nice job of spreading the football, don't they?
They do. You know, they had hit Durham Smythe a few times yesterday as well. They were delivering it. And like I said, Tua, he's hard to stop when they got that RPO game going because he's got so much experience with it. And obviously he can make the right decision. And a lot of people like to, you know, they just want to put in plays because, hey, like this team did it. It works. But it's like the zone read. There's my experience is just because you're athletic doesn't mean you necessarily can do it. You got to be able to process things, make the right decision. And clearly Tua can do that.
And last thing for you, Arthur, the defense looks like, I mentioned the young front and Christian Wilkins and some of those guys up front, but it's a defense that looks like it wants to try to confuse, likes to show you a lot of up people, dropping people in coverage. Might look similar to what your defense looks like.
Yeah, there are, you know, if you go back to the origins of it, there are some similarities. They put their own flavor on it. But they do. They throw a lot of different looks at you. They drop guys from everywhere. They'll change things up week to week, you know, with their fronts, who's up, who's not. They do a good job with their pressure package. You know, last year, they were dominant on third down. They get good players and good coaches. So it's going to be a challenge, like you said. It's the NFL, and we look forward to it. We look forward to getting down there this weekend.
Arthur, thanks for the time. Appreciate you. Get out there to practice and have a great week of practice, and we'll talk to you the rest of the week. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Arch. Good talking to you.
You bet. There he is, head football coach of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Smith, here on the Arthur Smith Coaches Show. When we come back next is our player spotlight. Player spotlight, easy for me to say. Daron Harmon up next. Welcome back to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the home of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm Dave Archer, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network. And now our player spotlight, and a good one. Daron Harmon joins us today, the veteran safety who's been anchoring a young, inexperienced secondary. And first of all, Daron, before we get started talking about your job and all the things you're doing that's helping his football team win games is, hey, did you get reacquainted with your family? I know you spent a lot of time at this game. You got a young family. How was it for the bye week?
Oh, it was great. Like you said, it was just being able to just be, you know, more so in the presence with the fam, you know, not worrying about who we're playing this week, not worrying about what type of fam or what type of recovery. It was literally just all about the family, and it was just very refreshing. I got a wife and four little boys, so, you know, it can be haywire sometimes. So to give my wife a little bit of help, it was a great weekend.
Yeah, no question about it. And good to have you on with us. We appreciate you taking the time. You're still a young guy in a sense, too, only 30 years old. So, but you're nursing some young dudes back there with you now. Tell me about how that's been with you and Eric, kind of those that veteran presence mm-hmm. in a secondary full of a bunch of really babies around you.
It's been a journey, you know. I think the thing that's just been great is we got a lot of, you know, hungry young guys, guys who want to learn, guys who want to be better, guys who, you know, want to do everything they can to help this team win. So when you got just a group of guys like that, it's all about just seeing things, learning from them, and just you know, building a memory bank of situations so that you can lean back upon when you're playing on Sundays. Because, you know, just it's a copycat league. The things you get that hurt you this week, you're going to see again next week, and you're going to see them until you fix it. And I think just the guys that we have, and like I said, it's been a collective effort amongst myself, you know, E, and then even Fabian, a guy who's still young, but year five, but just, you know, mature beyond his age, just trying to have everybody just be on the same page. You know, I think the best secondaries that I've been on, guys just work together. They play team defense, you know, team defense in the secondary. That's just what we're trying to get to and improve to each and every week.
Well, you've certainly been a part of good secondary, certainly in your time in New England. No question about it. Some good corners, good safeties. You're a big part of those. 19 career interceptions for Daron Harmon, who joins us here in the Player Spotlight here on the Arthur Smith Coaches Show. So, Daron, tell me about the challenge that you got kind of doubled down, trying to get guys taught up, and then the next thing you know, you got a bunch of new guys playing with you again against the Jets 2 weekends ago. So tell me how that was, Isaiah being out, you had Avery out, you had all these different guys in, you had to get everybody dialed in. You played well.
Yeah, we did. We played well as a group. And it was a challenge. But I think, like I said, just kind of piggyback what I said earlier, every guy in our secondary room is up for a challenge. We have just a room full of competitors. And I knew that, you know, we were going to be all right. You know, I just had to do a good job of just making sure everybody was on the same page. And before we went out there, I just told the guys, like, just play fast. You know, just go out there, play. Don't worry. Like, leave the checks. And everything and the communication to me, because, you know, I've been in that position. I've been a young guy out there where, you know, I had Devin McCourty, you know, Aqib Tlaib. I had, you know, Patrick Chung, Revis, and guys that was just, hey, just go out there, just, hey, play fast. That's all we want you to do, and I'm just, you know, just trying to pay it forward.
Another thing you're extremely experienced with is change, coaches change, or a new coach coming into a new situation. Mm-hmm. You were at Rutgers, and the same thing happened to you in the middle of your college career. So, tell me about what that experience as a young player in college at Rutgers taught you about coaching change and getting guys to buy in and all that type of stuff.
I think you hit it right on the head. I mean, it's about buying in, because at the end of the day, you got, you know, a new voice. You got somebody who coaching style might be different than what you had previously. But at the end of the day, if everybody is dialed in and listening to what the coach is preaching, then you could do great things. Because all it is, you know, we talk about the greatest teams. I think the thing that they all have in common is, you know, they have one goal. It's no outside, you know, voices or anything that's, you know, interfering to what they are trying to accomplish. It's literally all about one goal. And I think just being here, people are dialing in and really, you know, listening to what Coach Smith is preaching. And it's exciting to see. I mean, I know we're not where we want to be from a wins and losses standpoint, but just to see the guys dial in each and every day, like coming out here on a Monday and have the type of practice that we have, I truly believe we're headed in the right direction.
Give me your impressions of Dean Pease. I know the media got a taste of Dean Pease's fangs about a week ago when he went completely off defending what you guys were doing. And certainly they paid dividends this last week. And you gave up just 230 yards to an NFL offense. In fact, I think the Jets had 185 yards going into kind of that garbage time at the end of last week's game. So tell me about Dean Pease and what your thoughts are about him.
First of all, just a great human being. Great leader, somebody that I enjoy coming to work with each and every day. Obviously a guy that knows football. I mean, he's just been around the game, I think it's for 40 plus years, seen any and everything, seen the best players, seen what a, you know, Super Bowl team looks like, you know, coached on Super Bowl team. So just a lot of knowledge there. Just a smart guy and a competitor. I mean, you guys seen it when, you know, he was upset about the questions that was asked. I think it was something about how long it's been since we won a game. But he truly cares a lot. Not only does he care about football, but he cares about the people and doing everything in his power to help us be a successful defense to help the team. So just really, really a pleasure to work with Dean.
Well, you know what winning is all about as well. You've won a Super Bowl. So tell me what you see when you see this defense. There are a few veteran guys, but as we said, there's a lot of young dudes. So tell me what this defense could be potentially in your mind based on what you've seen as great defenses. You played on some really good ones.
Well, I think that the thing that I don't want to do is, you know, make some type of predictions about what this defense could be and what it could not be. But what I do know is that we got the right group of guys in here that's coming to work each and every day. And I think if you just look on the film, you see a defense that's getting better each and every week. And that's all we're looking to do. Just, we don't know how good we'll be, but we know if we just keep taking the right steps, we'll be playing good football when the games mean the most.
Daron, you make a good point in the fact that, you know, there's no reason to make any predictions, just continue to get better. But learning to what to do the way the coach wants you to do it, this is a different coach. You're playing for a different guy than you played for in Detroit a year ago, mm-hmm. or a different guy you played for in New England. And there's a bunch of guys coming together to do that. How much growing has to happen for you guys to finally kind of maybe realize the identity you might have in 8 weeks?
Mm-hmm. I think it just has to keep growing. I think we're at a point where we're growing. Everybody's getting more familiar with the scheme. Because the thing is, you know, football is all about situations. You know, it's easy to coach it from, you know, other people's film or coach it from practice. But when you get in game situations and stuff is happening at a different speed, it's so much easier to see, okay, that's what you mean by doing this or taking on this block. So we're steadily each and every week from the practice field to the game field, we're just looking at how we can be better, and we're working on it. We're working on each and every week, everybody in this building.
You know, when I look at the numbers, Daron, I see two linebackers that lead you in tackles, then I see you and Eric leading the team in tackles. So it's right down through the middle, and that seems to factor into good defenses, filter things to the middle to make plays both at the linebacker spot and the safety spot. I mean, I know people can get caught up in numbers and whatever they mean, but it certainly looks like it's factoring in and going the right direction as you continue to grow, as you talk about getting better as a unit.
For sure. I mean, we have two very, very talented linebackers in the middle that, you know, help lead. And, you know, you can't forget about, you know, Grady Jarrett and what he does up in that middle. I think it's just, you know, like you said, when you play good team defense, you funnel the ball inside into the middle, and then you have your linebackers and your safeties, you know, make those tackles. And, you know, that's what we're trying to do. I mean, and is it perfect? No, not at all. But like I said, is it better than it was week one? Without a doubt. Are we trending in the right direction? Without a doubt. So we just got to, you know, just stay focused on the task at hand, because, I mean, you can easily, you know, start playing good football and then think you arrived. But at the end of the day, this game is a very humbling game, and we know that, and we've all have our humbling experiences. So it's up to, you know, obviously the coaches, but the veterans, just to keep steering this franchise in the right direction so that we can be playing meaningful games when it matters the most.
Falcons safety Daron Harmon with us here on the Player Spotlight on the Arthur Smith Coaches Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Daron, you guys spent a few days with Miami prior to the preseason game. How much does that help you going into this game?
Oh, helps a lot, you know. I mean, obviously, you know, they're dealing with injuries, so, you know, some guys won't be out there that they, you know, want to be out there. But, you know, we got to get a good personal look at a lot of their personnel, you know, some good practices, some good reps. So, I mean, it'll help. But at the end of the day, you know, only thing it does is help. You still got to go out there. You still got to go play. You still got to, you know, play with good technique, good fundamentals. I mean, you can only use that to help. But at the end of the day, you still got to go out there and do everything to win the game.
This is a team that features a young QB in Tua Tagovailoa that played well in the preseason game, really played well early in the game against Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. How much – I know you're spending time with your kids. Did you allow yourself to kick your eyes towards that 9:30 kick like you guys had the week before?
Oh, without a doubt. You know, we got up, you know, watched some church on TV, and about 9:45, we were all locked in the game, you know, trying to see what it was going to look like next week. And I got, you know, I feel like he's my assistant coach, my oldest son, Christopher, who's telling me, all right, Dad, you see this, you see that, you know. So it was good. You know, it was a good Sunday where I could, you know, relax and watch some football with the fam, but at the same time, still keep an eye on our next appointment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.